today on Real Radio.
Maybe you were never told that. Get your thoughts under control. Learn how to fight the negative bad thoughts. When anger arises, learn how to fight it and put it back in its hole. When selfishness arises, learn how to punch it and put it back in its place. So many people today just go over because the thought sprung up in their mind. You got to fight.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter with a message called Going Public, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter unpacks for us the importance of our witness to the world. Until God rights all wrongs, we have a job to do, and above all, to love the way Jesus loved. Now, when we think of the term going public, we think of what we believe in and what we've put our hearts into is worth sharing and worth fighting for. That as believers, we need to publicly set in motion what the Bible declares to be true. We also need to understand what time it is, knowing that our time here on earth is short and that the end of all things is at hand. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we're not just to keep our heads in the game, but we're to keep our heads up and our mind in control, well-grounded in our thinking and not consumed by thoughts of ourselves. Through Christ, a sound mind is possible, taking every thought captive in obedience to His will. And now in his message called Going Public, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In John 9, verse 4, Jesus put it this way, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Opportunity. The door is open. The night is coming when no one can work. Rejection, persecution, loss of freedom. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Leave that verse on the screen, guys, if you would. And before we go to the next verse in Romans to gird this up, you know what's interesting about this? I'm curious if you've been with us on any of our mission trips throughout the years. We've been meeting and talking about missions and refocusing. Pastor Steve has been hosting classes and instructing. But I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but the mission field mentality has changed in the world in the last 3 years dramatically, depending upon what country or continent you're on. It used to be in the old days, maybe you were with us, we would pile up 40, 50, 60, 70, I think 73 people. We got one time on an airplane and we flew to Moscow, Russia, right after the fall. This particular trip of, we got there in 1992, but there was a trip in 1993, maybe even earlier than that, doesn't matter. But we stood on milk carts with guitars and battery-powered microphones in front of Lenin's tomb on Red Square and preached with microphones the gospel. Church, this church, just this church, there were many hundreds of churches that eventually went, but this church alone stood on Red Square in Moscow, Russia, 1,000-year pavement, and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and crowds by the hundreds stood, and many accepted Christ, and it was an amazing thing, and that started a movement for us where we went back, I don't know, I think I've been to Russia 17 times in preaching the gospel with you on various teams. Guess what? We went there in 2006 to do the same thing. We were set up for a matter of hours, and we got shut down. You can't do it anymore there. Vladimir Putin's put the kibosh on preaching the gospel publicly. Can't do it. Other parts of the world, we hear about resistance. Obviously, North Korea. Obviously, China. But listen, places that were once open, Germany, pushing back now, making it harder. Turkey used to be able to preach the gospel open air, no problem. Turkey, remember, Turkey was Bible land, friends. And Erdogan is against the gospel and he's shutting it down. They're either arresting Christians or they're expelling or they're not letting Christians back into the country. Hostility, South America turning hostile towards Christianity. What does this mean in this day and age when the Bible still commands us to go public? A, we still prepare people to infiltrate them into countries. B, we step back and we ask God, Lord, what is evangelism and what is missionary work supposed to look like now at this part of the 21st century? Because the whole world is changing. Are you with me? It's different. You just can't walk in and say, I'm a Christian. And I love the fact that C answers A and B until we have another answer from God. And that is, do what any nation does if you're going to invade an enemy. You always fly over first and drop bombs. Did you know that? This church is flying over countries that have made the gospel illegal, and we're flying over those countries, as it were, with radio and internet transmissions. Did you know that in various parts of the world, that's how people are fed? You can't stop it. Well, unless you're North Korea and much of China. I'm going to be wrong on this, not too far wrong, but I understand in North Korea, there's 300 people that have the internet in North Korea. Why are they against the internet? Because Kim Jong-un doesn't want people to find out that he's not God. Remarkable. Jesus said, do it now while you have the time. The end of all things is at hand. That's a motivation statement. That's a statement of truth, but it's a statement of motivation. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible says, and do this. I love that. Very forceful, isn't it? Do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Aren't you glad about that, church? You're way closer to heaven now than you were when you started. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light and serve in the Lord. So we want to understand what time it is. So verse 7, seriously, and I just thought about the magnitude of this in preparing this message. If I have the right head in the game regarding who I am as a Christian and what's at stake at this hour and what the real reason is for me being alive and you and I together as a church, well, we need to be very, very busy. The night is soon coming. The doors are going to be closing, so we got to hurry up. We need to live in that constant thinking that time is short. Every Christian should think regarding the brevity of time. It should direct us in our thinking and in our planning. I very much love, I think you know this by now, I very much love the imminent return of Jesus Christ. I've believed that all my Christian life, can't wait. I understand what the Bible says about that. But here's the downturn. Here's the downturn to that. Like a parent, like a pastor, like a business owner, anyone, even though you could leave today, you're commanded in the Bible to prepare for the next generation. Did you know that? We're commanded. It's hard. But you have to think outside your flesh. You have to think outside your body. Think bigger. David wanted to build God a temple. God said, David, you can't do it. Your hands are dripping with blood, for crying out loud. My house is to be a house of prayer. God, in his mercy, though, I mean, who built the temple? Solomon, his son, right? Have you read the fine print of 1 and 2 Kings or 1 and 2 Chronicles? Solomon built it, but who paid for it? David paid for most of it. He couldn't build it, so he funded it. And you fund the work of God in your prayer, in your focus, in your worship, thanking, Lord, what would you have me to do today? You say, well, Jack, that's a no-brainer. I'm going to go down the freeway. I'm going to park on the freeway for a few hours. I'm going to eventually get to work. I'm going to do my job. And then I'm going to get back on the freeway, park there again for a few hours, and then I'll be home. No. That's not that. You're going to do that. That's to put bread on the table, and that's to whatever God wants to do. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord wants to use you, and he's given you a task, and he's given you a mission. And so we want to have the right head about that, and we want to understand that the hour is late. And then secondly, look, we want to keep our head up. Our head's in the game, yes, but look at the continuation of verse 7. We want to keep our head up. And he says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Tremendous statement. Beautiful. Three things that he's telling us that we need to do as Christians. And this is always good, church, because remember, Peter right now is in the exhortation mode. So can you right now look at Peter? He's kind of inspecting the line. He's the sergeant. He's walking up and down the line, or maybe the colonel or the general's coming by, and he's looking at all the polished brass and the black shoes and the rifles that are ready to go, and he's just up once, and he's prepared them. He's announced to them. He's put the word out to them, and now it's time for review. And he's looking at them, and it's an exhortation. It means, be ready, get ready, stand ready. Well, how do I do that? Well, he says, therefore, be serious. Tremendous word. It means to be sound or solid of mind. Listen up, everybody. It means to be put in the right temperament or the right mindset, to have sound judgment. This one little word means to use your mind or your thoughts rightly, to be sensible, to be well-grounded in your thinking. Thinking. Today, perhaps more than any other time in human existence, I don't know, of course, but I'm guessing. Serious-mindedness, grounded-mindedness, thoughts. Do your thoughts breed vision in your life? Do your thoughts, is the pattern of your thinking, is it up-tempo? Is it hopeful? Is it ahead? Are you looking ahead? Listen, please listen. When Jesus Christ rules in your life by the person of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing depressing about Jesus. And America is depressed. America's being consumed and eaten alive by self-thoughts. And when Christ comes into our lives, he shines a light, as it were. He turns on a flood lamp. And it's hard to get someone to understand this when they haven't seen the light come on. They think maybe we're telling them stories. That when we can turn to them and say, listen, come to the light. Christ is in the light. He'll give you light and he'll give you life and he'll fill your life with hope. That's not Christianese. People want to make fun of that. They'll talk it down. Of course they will, because they've never known it. They don't even know what they're putting down. But to those of us who he's raised up out of the miry clay of depression, as it were, or death, or a life of sin where it dominated us and it shrouded, it was a cloudy. Have you noticed we've had, thank God, months off and on, months of rain off and on. Have you noticed the other day, was it yesterday? The sun came out and it was just a little bit warmer. Now look, we live in Southern California. Apparently we can only take 4 days of cloud cover or rain. But I was ready, I love the rain, but I was ready for the sun to come out. Are you with me? And, I think of people who live in Portland or Seattle or places like that, and it's just like, oy vey. You know what? God bless you guys up there, because Jesus lives down here. I mean, he did say walk in the light. He is the Son of Righteousness, and it's right here in Southern California. But I got to tell you, man, people can be depressed by life. And this word here tells us to get our minds under control. Grab your mind, get them under control. And a lot of people don't believe that anymore. Maybe you were never told that. Get your thoughts under control. Learn how to fight the negative bad thoughts. When anger arises, learn how to fight it and put it back in its hole. When lust pops up, learn how to slay it and put it back where it came from. When selfishness arises, learn how to punch it and put it back in its place. So many people today just go over because the thought sprung up in their mind. You got to fight. And the Bible tells us that we can be of a sound mind through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Listen up. I want all of you to get this tattoo on you if you have to. This is awesome stuff. We'll go through this slowly. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Write it down. Write it on your arm. Write it on your neighbor. Tattoo it on a jacket. Whatever it takes. And, you know, you laugh. I'm going to tell you something. Maybe I shouldn't tell you that. It's okay. Well, no. It says, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, for though we walk like human beings, like humans, we are not waging war according to the flesh or the way humans fight. This gets kind of cool and creepy-like. I like it. I mean, we walk like a human. That's just what the word means. We walk like humans, but we don't fight like humans. Ooh. For the weapons of our warfare are not human, not of this flesh, but they're spiritual. They have divine power. Listen, to destroy strongholds. Did you know in your mind there are strongholds? There's things that when it snaps its finger, you're done. You're having a great day, and then that thought comes about what happened to you when you were 9 years old. Or you remember, you hear somebody whose name's Billy. Oh, and there goes Billy Bob. And you stop, and everything's gone. Now your mind, you don't hear anything else after that because you remember Billy was the guy that stole your lunch when you were in junior high. And it's ruined your life. You know what I'm saying? I'm joking, but I'm not. Something triggers a pattern of thinking. And you just, it hits you. And you've been conditioned to think, well, I'm just a victim of this. Listen. God's word is telling you that you can destroy strongholds that arise in your mind. Look at verse 5. We destroy arguments. Wow, the word destroy is to dethrone. Watch this. It's to dethrone. It's awesome. Imagine some old, mean, ugly, decrepit, wicked thought sitting on the throne of your logic and reason. And it governs and shadows everything that you do. And here the Bible says you can destroy that, and it means to walk up and grab it and throw it off the throne with violence. That's all in your mind. Hey, thought that I rebuke in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to think that again. And if it knocks on the door of my head 20 times today, I'm going to fight it. God, give me the strength. I'm going to resist it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you fight, fight, fight. If you have to do it 100 times a day, you don't stop. You've got to learn how to fight in this area of the mind because, listen, we cannot move ahead and advance the gospel because time is short with a bunch of wounded soldiers. Amen. And so, dethrone these arguments. What are these arguments? Well-crafted rejections, well-crafted refusals, well-crafted alternatives that people put forward to the gospel, and every lofty opinion that raises itself against the knowledge of God, and that we take every thought captive. The word captive here means make it a prisoner. Listen, take every thought captive to obey or to the obedience of Christ. I love this verse, church. This verse, quite possibly, single-handedly, these few verses saved my life as a new believer. My life was not good. And when I came across just reading the Bible, I came across this passage. It taught me how to fight my thoughts. There's an enemy on the outside, the world, and there's an enemy on the inside, the old world. But Christ has given you and I the victory. You ask yourself before we move on, is there anything in your life that shadows, restrains, cloaks, darkens your ability to do God's will in your life? That thing God says to you this morning, if you have to write it down, whatever you have to do to it, take it and announce, Lord, it is your will that this thing no longer control me, and I'm dethroning it now. I'm grabbing it by the beard and I'm throwing it into the ash heap of history, and it's not going to control me anymore. Whatever that thing may be. The word watchful. Therefore, he says, be serious, and he says, be watchful. The word watchful means to be clear of thinking, sober-minded. It implies that you abstain. Notice, if you would abstain from alcohol that fuzzies your mind, this word means, abstain from things that fuzzy your thoughts, that cloud them. You think about today. Now, this is for service. Younger people will come to third service today. The audience will be different in age. It's quite an interesting dynamic, by the way. Because, it's the young people who come to third service. They just got home a little while ago. So they'll come to third service. This next verse applies to all of us, but so much applies to them in the modern age in which they're growing up and what their minds are subjected to. But by the way, listen, I love young people. I love young people enough to fight for them. Amen. And what do you mean fight for them? Well, I try to get out and I try to influence as much as possible their school campuses and the curriculum that's going to those kids or the university campus. I love the 5-minute video films made by Dennis Prager to reach the college campuses, as he has world experts from all over the world on their particular item, if it's economy or morality or gun control or borders or racism. He has experts addressing these issues in 5 minutes. And they have over a billion views, well over a billion views. I love that. Why? Because when you stop young people today and you ask them, hey, what do you think about the current international scene in the world? What do you think is the most interesting pressure point for international issues in the world? Ask a 16-year-old that. Ask an 18-year-old that. Ask an 18-year-old on the street who the vice president is. I'm dead serious. They don't know. I'm against that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Going Public, Part 1. Thanks so much for joining us today. You know, our prayer is that you take the gospel of Jesus Christ with you wherever you go. Going Public, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, one thing we've learned through Peter's writings is how much God really loves us, and how much he wants to have a close personal relationship with all of us who've made him the Lord of our lives. That's why it's so important to start the day with prayer and a verse from Scripture. It's also why Pastor Jack has devotions right there at his website that you can tap into. Simply go to jackhibbs.com and click on that tab labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a specific verse from the Bible and a personal story from Pastor Jack that relates to that verse. There's a new one each week, along with previous devotions for daily inspiration. Again, you'll find devotions on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or right there on our Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access anytime, anywhere. You know, January is just around the corner, and we have a one-year Bible available that helps you read the entire Bible in 1 year. Each 15-minute daily reading plan includes a portion from the Old Testament, the New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb. It's called the New King James 1 Year Bible. I love this Bible. It's available for purchase at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.